sermon for this afternoon would be, "And So It Began." And so it began. Psalms 102, verses 25 through 28. That's Psalms 102, 25 to 28. "In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. The children of your servants will live in your presence. Their descendants will be established before you." May God add a blessing to those who hear, believe, and live his word. Amen. Thank you.
Hymn number 218, 218. I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me. I know eternal life he gives from sin and sorrow free. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life he gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. He wills that I should wholly be in word and thought. Indeed, then I face may see when from this earth life freed. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life he gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that over yonder stands a place prepared for me. A home, a house not made with hands, most wonderful to see. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life he gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Man, let us mark our hymn books at this time. Be hymn number 690. 690 would be the song of encouragement. 690. Amen. And at this time, as we all be standing, let us notice hymn number 243. The song before the message, 243. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. You know I'll fly away. Your glory, I'll fly away in the morning, and when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. And you know I'll fly away. Your glory I'll fly away in the morning, and when I die, by. Hallelujah, by and by I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joys will never end. I'll fly away. Morning and when I die, hallelujah, by and by I'll fly away.
I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. I die, hallelujah, by and by
I'll fly away.
Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 1. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Amen. And so it began. God is the creator. God is our creation, and we are his creation. And it's our responsibility to seek after him and believe in him. It's our responsibility to begin not only to seek after God, but if we don't believe in him, to begin to believe in God. And as we consider the universe around us and this earth that we live upon, we find that God made them. And when we understand all those things that God has done and all those things that God has made, our hearts are compelled to seek the verses from the song that says, "Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art!" When we consider the universe around us and this earth in which we live, we can't even fathom some of the things that go on in this life that we just don't see or really will never understand. How bats live in caves, how birds live in trees. We'll never understand how the seed is planted in the ground and comes up to be a big oak tree. Some things we just will never understand. We'll never understand how conception happens, and before you know it, in 9 months, here we are. It all begins somewhere. Do you know the God who's revealed in the Bible? Do you know and understand God? You know, the world wants to answer all of our questions. Everybody's got an answer for everything. But the world is unable to provide any answers to mankind's most important questions. Somebody said, "Who am I?" And the world couldn't answer. Someone said, "Where did I come from?" And the world couldn't answer. Someone asked the question, "Why am I here? And where am I going?" And the world couldn't answer. People are asking themselves these things over and over and over again, groping in the dark, looking for answers, answers that they'll never find within themselves or in the world. The only source to which we can find satisfactory and truthful answers to these questions is where it all began. We can find those answers from the Creator and his inspired revelation that he has delivered to us through the apostles and the prophets. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says, "In the beginning, God." It's where it all began. It says, "In the beginning, it was God who created the heavens and the earth." It was God. "And the earth was without form, and it was void. And darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." Then God said, it all began right there. God spoke it. And the Bible says, and then it was God who said, let there be light, and there was light. You know, when I was in the military, we used to work in these missile silos underground. And it was dark in there. And we had to bring our own natural light in there. And if the light didn't work, we had to come out because we couldn't do the things that God did. We couldn't just walk in that dark place and says, let there be light. You know, we got work to do. And expect it to be light. It all began with God. We were groping in the darkness. No hope in the world at all. And God said, let there be light. And let that light be Jesus the Christ, God's Son, our Savior. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father. Let it all begin with me. Let there be light. And there was light. And I don't understand why people wrestle with the scriptures, because the first verse of the Bible is easy to understand. It's as easy to understand if I were to say to you this evening, Emmett is going to water, he's going to take water and put on a garden and a lawn. You can't cut that up any other way. It's plain. In the beginning, God. It's so simple. It's so simple. But people don't want the simple. They want things to be mysterious. But it's packed with power. God's word is packed with power if we would just use it. I want you to understand those four words. In the beginning, God. Those four words introduce the greatest force man can and will ever know. The greatest. As a matter of fact, it goes beyond the greatest force that you'll ever know. You'll never know a force like God. Never. This record of Genesis chapter 1, where it all begins, contains five necessary facts that science seeks to operate in. Time, Bible says in the beginning. Force, the force is God. Action is what science looks for, and the action is that he created space. All the heavens were created by God. And matter. Science deals with matter. And all matter is comprised in this earth in which God created that we might live. And the Bible cannot be used to prove or disprove science. And what's so ironic about it, neither does science necessarily prove or disprove the Bible. True science is merely, it's just facts, it's theories. Might be theses about the physical universe. Science is facts about something that they didn't even create. It's about facts about what God created. Get that? They're going to use something that God created to make their own facts about God. I just can't get that one. It's a body of facts. And the Bible is not designed as a treatise on science, because the Bible is subjected to scientific observation, even though everything in the Bible is actually scientifically true. Man can't figure that one out. It's accurate. This book of Genesis, where it all began, is primarily a book of history, which contains a record revealed by God for anyone who will read it. It's the record of God from cover to cover, from beginning to end. And it's a record for anyone who's going to read it, examine it, and accept it. Because a lot of people read, or a lot of people examine, but they won't accept anything as truth because it reveals who they are. Or it takes away from what they think, or detracts from their own truth. They're going to look at it, but they might not accept it. In the beginning, God, the Bible says, read it, examine it. Accept it. It's where it all began. And our only choice is whether or not we believe that these things happen. We can dismiss them. One hot fact that you must understand is that no man was present at the creation. Job understood that. God says, you stand up like a man, Job. You've been asking me all these questions. Now let me ask you a few. Where were you when I created this? Where were you, Job? No man was present at the creation. And God's word, every word of God is perfect, is pure, is true. Every word of God is the only record that we have. And it's up to us to believe it. Either believe it or we don't believe it. And everything that God says was so incredible to me. It's within reason. It's within reason. We read about Greek mythology and ancient history and all those heathen cultures. And they provide all these mystical things into the realm of God or the gods they serve. But God's word, unlike those myths, is the only record we have, and there's no evidence to prove otherwise. No one else can prove anything else, because that's where it all began. And if you start digging, you're going to find out that's where it began. I once knew a fellow who tried to disprove that God was even alive, tried to disprove God's word, and he took the Bible to disprove it and found himself a Christian. Because that's where it all began. You can't veer too far from the truth. If you're going to examine it, you're going to read it, and you're going to accept it, you're going to find yourself wrapped up in God. In the beginning, God. That's where it all began. That's where it all began. It's the only record we have. And the so-called scientists, while using entirely natural means, using things of God, all their theories seem to conflict one another. And that's why it's a theory, because it's not a fact. And none of them, absolutely no theory of science, has any supportable proof when it comes to proving whether God is. None. Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. God is a spirit, and the spirit made things visible to us. Isn't that incredible? Even through the ages, from the thread of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ runs from the book of Genesis all the way through Revelation, and God made invisible things. He made them visible, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. He made himself visible that we might see him in the face of his Son. What did science have to do with that? Not one thing. One thing. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. The things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In the beginning, when it all began, in the beginning, God, the Bible says. If you want to start to read that Bible, you read those words in the book of Genesis, in the beginning, God, and see where it takes you. Open up your heart and your mind. Look through the eyes of faith. Leave all your preconceived notions behind, and you will find God. You will find him. There's a lot of people out there today using those family trees to trace their inheritance. I told my family, we're not doing that, because that's just the police looking to track you. They get all your DNA and all the records and all these. Ooh, yeah, well, he can... To Joseph down the street, we got him now. Look, it all ties in. No way. Let me tell you something. You want to trace your spiritual history? It all boils down to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. It all begins with God. And all God is trying to do with that tree is save your life. I'm trying to save your life. We find in the beginning another name for God. And this name is found 6,823 times in the Old Testament. And that name for God is Jehovah. It's Jehovah. And that English form of Jehovah comes from a Hebrew tetragrammaton, YHWH. And the name is so holy, some people just prefer to say Yahweh because they can't even pronounce it. But no one knows the correct pronunciation. They just can't do it. YHVH. It's thought to be derived from the verb meaning to be, and sometimes it's translated as the eternal one, but no one even knows how to say his name. Isn't that incredible? You talking about from the beginning, how are you going to say his name when he created you? This name distinctly expresses the personality of God and points to him as the one who was, points to him as the one who is, and points to him as the one who will always be. It all began with God. The origin of the name is generally related to God's appearance to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus 3:14 through 16. That's where the phrase comes from, I am that I am. Jehovah. You go down there and you tell him, I am that I am, and I am is the one who sent you. Try to name your child I am today and see where that gets you. There's some strange names out there. There really are. And when you look at them, some of them are really original. I am that I am. Later on, God appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and he appeared as God Almighty. He says in Exodus 6:3, but my name, Lord, I was not known to them then. I was not known to them as Jehovah then. But this same Lord, this God where it all began, his name Jehovah is affirmed to be the creator. The creator. And that's where it all began. Exodus 20 and 22, for in 6 days the Lord God made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. 6 days. Can you imagine that? What can you do in 6 days? Or rather, what can't you do in 6 days because you don't have enough time? I want you to understand that God made everything in 6 days. And the seventh day, the Bible says he rested. And see, we can't be God because we're going to rest every day we do something. You know, I'm so tired. I worked so hard today. You know, I made the universe today. I put the moon up there. I hung the stars over there. I got to get me a little break today. The Bible says in 6 days he did everything. Then he took a break. We can't do everything that God asks us to do in one moment, yet we want to take a break from God. We want to rest. It doesn't begin with you. It doesn't end with you. It all begins with God. We can't take a break on God. He didn't take a break on us. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, he made a male and female. He created man. Can you imagine when he was making us? He had to put your whole left side together and wasn't finished with your right side, and he might have went and took a rest and forgot to put something in. It all began with God, and we've got to understand that it's not about us. It's not about us. He created the earth and all life upon it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and all those who dwell therein. For he is founded upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Psalm 24, 1 through 2. God created man, and the Lord formed man out of dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. So what that tells me is that when he created man initially, man wasn't even living. He breathed life into man. And man became a living being. I want to see a scientist create that. He might be able to clone a sheep. He can't create no life, though. Cloning and creating life. His life is already there. God is the one who sustains life. He sustains the life of man upon this earth. Paul said in Acts 17, 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. For we are also his offspring. In God, where it all begins, we live and breathe and we move and we have our own being. And those of us who live upon this earth, created by God, we must have faith in God. Hebrews 11:6. for without faith it's impossible to please him. For those who come to him must believe that he is, and that is the reward of those who diligently seek him. And those sources of faith must be the written revelation that comes from the word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the word of God. No man has ever written anything that you can get me to believe that God wrote it. It was with the finger of his own hands that God wrote the Ten Commandments. And Moses was there, just standing there watching. He never lifted a finger. Not one. We believe God's word. And that word must be active trust in the Creator. James 2:24 says, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. You're only justified by your obedience and not by faith only. So one believes about the book of Genesis chapter 1, and his belief should be about the inspiration and authority of the Bible, because the doctrine of the Bible declares that God revealed to its authors the very words that he spoke. And the Bible is God's inspired revelation. It all began there. And that Bible has all authority over every man. And what it speaks on creation carries a greater weight than any pronouncement of any educated man. It carries a greater weight than any pronouncement of anybody who's here now or who's going to come in the future or who thinks that they're smarter than God. The Creator and his word gives us all that we need for life and godliness. But too many people try to cross that line. And they bridge their thinking that they know everything about God. And they find themselves down the wrong road, far away from God. And the one who crosses that bridge, the one who crosses that road, thinks they know everything about God, will never be the same again until he repents and goes back to being the man that God has called him to be. I think about the Tower of Babel. They got interrupted by God because they were creating something that they thought would make them gods or put them where God was. I think about the flood. A lot of people think about those things as myths, but the actual truth, you can follow them. It's in historical books as well as the Bible. It's there. If we believe in the inspiration of Scripture, we've got to accept whatever it teaches. And we've got to examine every word that it teaches and understand its meaning and believe that the inspiration of the Scripture is what's going to force us to work to understand what that revelation is saying. And once we understand what the revelation is saying, it's clear and understood, we've got to accept it as truth. Regardless of a philosopher or a scientist, regardless of our own fleshly minds, when we read God's word in the beginning, God, we have to accept that internally as a truth that comes from our Creator. You know, a lot of people are finding a lot of things that were written by a lot of singers that are now dead and departed this earth. And they're fetching a lot of money for those things because they wrote those words down on pieces of paper that they balled up and threw in the trash can, and they took them out and put them in plastic or something, and they're worth thousands of dollars, and these words are, man, they it. Now, this is the song here. If you own this, what you can do with it? And yet the Bible is free. Words framed by God from the beginning, even until now. Free. Written that we might have life and not entertain ourselves with the things that come from the world or the minds of man. So frame it up. And no matter what you or any scientist might assert, the Bible is the gold standard of how we should live. It says in the beginning, it was God. And God is the Creator. We are his creation. And it's our responsibility to not only seek after him, but to believe in him. And consider the things around you in the earth in which we live and know that God made them. When you find yourself just alone and you have nothing else to see, look up and see how great thou art. How great thou art. This is eternal life for us, church. This is eternal life. John 17:3 says, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's true life for us, to know God from the beginning, even until now, that we might have eternal life. Have you obeyed God's word? Do you know God? How about your spirit? Have you left your spirit and your soul behind? The Bible tells us how to become one with God and how to become one with each other. It tells us that. But you've got to read it and study and follow it. And when you do, it only means that you can have a right relationship with your wife. You can have a right relationship with your husband. You can have a right relationship with your employer, with your friends. You can have a right relationship with God, because that's where it all begins. It all begins. God is the creator. God is the one who made you. So ask all the questions you want to. Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? And I'll tell you where it all began. And all your questions are answered inside the Holy Writ. Our God is alive, isn't he? YHVH is where it all began. Jesus the Christ, God's Son, says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And that's where it all will end. What about you? Have you began to transform your life by living the way that God has called you to live? Have you read his word in such a way that has inspired you to be what God has called you to be? Your repentance is a wonderful thing that God has given us. It's a gift that's unlike any other. Because you know, you can apologize to God and be sincere about it, and God will forgive and forget immediately. But you can come to me with that if you want. I might forgive you. I got that elephant skin on, though. Sometimes it's just hard to forget those things, isn't it? But our God is, I am that I am. He'll forget your sins right now if you will repent of those sins. You'll forget them. You'll forget your sins right now if you be baptized in water for remission of your sins, those of us who may not be. It all begins with God. Can we invite you tonight to come as we stand and sing God's invitation song?
Careless, oh, what do you lay?